just a quick synopsis of the Parsha. Parsha's bow, of course, is the last three Makos. The last three Makos being Arba, Choshech, and Makos Bechoros. It also is the Parsha where we're introduced to the first mitzvah as a Jewish people, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the significance of Rosh Chodesh Nisan as the official start of the calendar. We learn about the Karbon Pesach. Moshe, of course, is continuing throughout to negotiate with Paro. Paro finally says, "You'll never see my face again." Moshe says, "You'll never see my face again." Paro says, "You're right." And that was actually a good thing. And Bnei Yisrael are busy racing out of Mitzrayim towards the end. Kadosh Baruch Hu introduces us to the sanctity of the firstborns, both humans and even donkeys. And then the Parsha ends with the mitzvah of tefillin. So it's a very packed Parsha. Again, three Makos, really the final preparations of leaving Mitzrayim, and really that actual process of leaving Mitzrayim, and some very important mitzvos like sanctifying the new moon, and tefillin, and bechor, etc. Okay, so let's start with the second piece, Nedego Machan Ephraim for Parshas Bo. Bo el Paro, ki ani achabadati as libo, laman shisi ososai ele bekirbo. Okay, the first couple of pieces here, he has a very fascinating idea. We'll just touch on it. It's actually connecting the end of the Parsha to the beginning of the Parsha. Because I told you the last topic in the Parsha is what? Is tefillin. The amazing mitzvah of tefillin. So here, in the opening words of the Parsha, we have a remez to tefillin, a hint to tefillin. Right? Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro, or Bo, come to Paro. Parshim asks, why is it Bo as opposed to Lech? But Bo el Paro, because I'm hardening his heart, and the heart of his servants, Laman Shisi Ososai Ela Bekirbo, so that I will be able to place, to put, Shisi, to put my signs in his midst. Meaning Hashem says, at this point, I want to finish all the way through. I want to do 10 Makos, we've done 7. I'm hardening Paro's heart, and we're going to finish the process of Arba, Choshech, and Bechoros. So says the Dagomachan Ephraim Yesh Bezeh Drush Amok, there's a very deep drasha to be said here, v'humi sod ha-tfilim, ha-nikraim os. On the topic of tefillin, which is called an os. Because again, the end of the parsha is tefillin. But at the beginning of the parsha, Hashem says, I want to place my what? Shisi ososai b'kirbo. I want to place my signs. Interesting. So we think, the signs are the makos. But tefillin is also a sign. Shabbos is a sign. Yom Tov is a sign. Bris Mila is a sign. One of the reasons that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos is because you always need to have, exactly, you need to have two signs. So during the week we have Bris Mila and tefillin. On Shabbos, Shabbos replaces tefillin. So he says there's a deep secret here that tefillin is called an os. V'os Shabbos v'yom tov nikram os. V'mirta Hashem kishiyem yis Hashem ava'er be'ezraso. And when the time comes, Hashem should give me the strength to explain this to you. But since there's something hinted here, I want to explain to you, he says, a Gemara in Meseches Brachos on Daf Vav. A Gemara we've heard before, maybe learned before, that just like we wear tefillin, who else wears tefillin? Hashem wears tefillin. What does that mean? We know Hashem doesn't have a body, it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. What does it mean that God wears tefillin? So he has a beautiful pshat. V'ke'es neve'er b'ksar v'nakdim b'gemara. I want to begin by explaining, at least shortly, he's in a short fashion, he says, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Vav. Shakadosh Baruch Hu meniach tefillin. God wears tefillin. Shemati bezeh mahu inyan tefillin. So I heard an explanation. What does it mean Hashem wears tefillin? V'lahavin zeh sheheim ta'anugim v'sha'ashuim shalakadosh Baruch Hu miYisrael bizdab kusam bo. The same way, of all the mitzvahs, the mitzvah, in a certain sense, that we are most attached to is the tefillin. We literally tie it to ourselves. Now you could argue and you could say, well, there's mitzvahs of achila, which literally enter us through eating, like matzah. But in terms of a mitzvah, right, that we perform, tying ourselves to the tefillin, tying the tefillin to us, is a mitzvah that represents a very, very deep dveikus. That's what the word tefillin even means, right? Tefillah, tefillin, naftali, Shevet Naftali. All these terms are a lashon of attaching, connecting. And that's why tefillin is performed by connecting. Tefillah is only as good as your connection to it. It's not just lip service. So what is the tefillin of Hashem? He says it's the ta'anugim, it's the pleasures v'sha'ashuim, and the delights, the enjoyment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets from the Jewish people when we cling to Him. Just like we attach tefillin to our bodies, so too, when we attach ourselves to Hashem, we become Hashem's tefillin by clinging to Hashem, by tying ourselves to Hashem. Amazing idea. If I were to ask you, how do we attach ourselves to Hashem? What was Hashem's original vision? Let me say it differently. What was Hashem's original vision of having a very intimate and close relationship with us? How did Hashem express that? Okay, post Gan Eden. From a post Kabbalah Satorah perspective. What was the vision of us having a Beis HaMikdash, Mishkan, right? V'shachanti b'socham. Hashem says, Asu li mikdash, make me a Beis HaMikdash, right? Which in that time meant the Mishkan. V'shachanti b'socham. And then, as the Sfarim explained, v'shachanti b'socham, I want to dwell not just in your presence, but b'socham. Ideally, the original Mishkan was supposed to be inside of us, right? B'socham, within them. Hashem wants to be in our hearts. All right, we sometimes can't carry Hashem in our heart all the time, so we have a place where we attach ourselves to Hashem. The Beis HaMikdash is a place of attachment to Hashem. A place where we go to feel lifnei Hashem. Even though, of course, Hashem is everywhere. Leis asar panoi minei, like we learned yesterday. So the Zohar says, v'shachanti b'socham. The Zohar says, duh, we were talking about this the other night, remember? Duh, raza de tefillin. V'shachanti b'socham is the secret of tefillin. Because your tefillin looks like a little what? A little miniature Beis HaMikdash. Look at the shape of it. It's a little Beis HaMikdash, a little Mishkan. So what an amazing idea. If the Beis HaMikdash, I'm adding to what the Dagobach and Ephraim are saying here. If the Beis HaMikdash is a place for us to attach ourselves to Hashem, which we represent through tying tefillin to our arm and to our head, so too, Hashem wants to be attached to us. So what is Hashem's tefillin, so to speak? Dveikus in us. Again, look at the words. The pleasure and the enjoyment that Hashem gets bizdab kusam bo when we attach ourselves to Hashem. It's all about that dveikus between us and Hashem. Hashem wants to be attached to us. We want to be attached to Him. Ideally, that means that I carry Hashem in my heart and I, so to speak, recognize that I exist within Hashem. If we can't pull that off, we'll have a meeting place in the Beis HaMikdash. If that falls apart also, we have something called tefillin. I wear tefillin, which is my mini Beis HaMikdash, reminding me of my attachment to Hashem. And Hashem also wears tefillin, which is His attachment to us. Okay, whatever that means. And through this, we attain the mochin. Moach means the mind, the brain. Of Abba. Yisrael asher b'cha, Yeshaya says, Yisrael asher b'cha espa'ar. That Jewish people, in you I am espa'ar. In you, I have what? I have splendor. Tiferes. Upe'er hu tefillin ki adua. And as the Gemara tells us, and certainly the deeper Svarim tell us, Tiferes, Pe'er, the tefillin is called Pe'er. There's many sources that say that. And therefore Hashem says, Jewish people, you are my Pe'er, you are my tefillin. In other words, what is Hashem's tefillin? V'zeh inyon sh'akadosh baruch hu miniach tefillin. Hashem's tefillin are our actions, our behaviors. Our attachment to Hashem and the joy, kiviyachol, that we give Hashem is Hashem's tefillin. V'zeh gam kein inyan tefillin shel Yisrael. And this is, of course, also the tefillin of the Jewish people. Kishemizdabkim miskasher ma'aseim al yedei sh'ma'aminim b'kadosh baruch hu. That when we believe to Hashem, again, we think, well, you know, nowadays only certain tzaddikim wear tefillin all day. Most regular people wear tefillin just for davening. But there's an inyan of tefillin that has to be true all day. Which is why tefillin are so holy. When you learn about tefillin, you start to see, whoa, tefillin is like this unbelievable thing. We dafka, we're nervous to wear them for too long. But the inyan of tefillin we have to wear all day. The concept of tefillin, being connected to Hashem, we have to wear at all times. So when we're ma'aminim b'kadosh baruch hu, when something happens to me, when I'm driving on the highway and I get a flat tire, right, and I say, okay, this is from Hashem, that's tefillin. I just made tefillin out of a flat tire. I made attachment to Hashem. I didn't lose sight of the fact that Hashem is in this moment, good or bad. When I recognize the wonders of Hashem in everything, right? When I take a breath and I realize that Hashem has given me life, that's called tefillin. That's a microcosm of tefillin. Boim la'av of a year of pnimis, v'hei mamish tefillin shel rosh v'shel yad. As the Gemara says, that tefillin are supposed to be worn not just on your head, but the Gemara refers to them in brachos as tefillin shebarosh, tefillin in your head. What does that mean, tefillin in your head? The Gemara elsewhere says, dafka, the tefillin have to be square and not rounded or pointy, because God forbid, you could actually injure yourself. Your tefillin could penetrate your head. You need it to be safe. You got to wear safe tefillin so they're flat on the bottom, so if they don't, God forbid, you know, you get smacked in the head, God forbid, pierces your skull. Right? So what do you mean tefillin shebirosh, tefillin in the head? But again, the idea of tefillin in the head is whatever he's alluding to, mochin me'aba v'ima, to be mindful of Hashem, to be attached to Hashem at all times. I want to stop this piece here, but he continues in the next piece, and we'll jump to the next piece where it's a continuation of this theme. O Yeyamer, does everyone see it? Laman shisi ososai eila bekirbo. Yeah. What? No, so save it, so save it, save it. I have to be more mindful of our... Yeah, so say, so say. Use your comments wisely. If you want to say Vartloch, tell me after Shir. If saying on this, then say now. So say. You want to say? Okay, we have a lot of people in Shir, so I'm just trying to, we have to manage our time. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to say. You're welcome to say. I don't want you to think it's like, it's out to me. It's out to the Degelbach and Ephraim's kavod. It's out to the Ran's kavod and the Ritva's kavod. Meaning it's not, okay, it's not, but you're welcome to say. You want to save it? Okay. No, just be so, no, but this is an important lesson. It's worth it to spend the time to teach this lesson. We have to be selective of what we share when. Okay, good. So let's go to jump to the next piece. I hope I didn't scare you off. You know I love you. Oh yeah, Amer Leman Shisios Asai Ela Bekirbo Al Derech Hanizker Leal. Ach Ein Medrash Belo Chiddush. I want to say, he says another thing on this theme, something new. Ki Tfilin Nikra Os. Kamosha Kasuv. Tfilin's called an Os. I told you there's many Mamari Chazal, there's many Svarim about it, there's a Pasuk about it. Vahaya La Os Al Yadcha. It's an Os. The Tfilin is an Os. It's a Mefurisha Pasuk. This week's Parsha. Ukeshenechzar os achas. Now, tefillin's called an os. What else does the word os mean besides a sign? Os means a letter. Obviously, when you're writing tefillin, every letter counts. When you're writing a Sefer Torah, every letter counts. When you're writing a mezuzah, every letter counts. We care a lot about each letter. So tefillin's called an os because every letter counts. Kamo shekasu v'haya la'os al yadcha. Ukeshenechzar os achas. And if one letter is missing from your tefillin, then you're going to have a problem. Afilu pei shel paro v'kiyotze bo. Even the letter pei of the word paro would damage your tefillin. Think about it for a second. Think about it from a Sefer Torah perspective. Yeah, we have psukim in the Torah that we sometimes wonder, why did Hashem bother to write these down for all eternity? Why was it necessary to tell me that Alifaz had a pilegesh? Right? Who cares? And her name was Timna. Who cares? The Alufei Esav, the Alufei Yishmal. Who cares? Now, obviously, there's deep secrets in all of that. And every letter counts. And I always use that example of Alifaz as Pilagesh, whose name was Timna, because that's the example some of the Rishonim used. It could be already Chazal used it. That just like a missing word of Shema, or a letter of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, would damage the Sefer Torah. So if you're missing a letter of the naming the wife of Alifaz, the son of Esav, that also damages the Sefer Torah. So he says, every letter of your tefillin counts, but your tefillin talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, which means they talk about Paro. That means Paro is in your tefillin. And if even the letter Pei is missing, who puzzle ve'eno kare os tefillin klal. If even a letter from Paro's name is missing from your tefillin, so your tefillin are not going to be tefillin. So I'm just going to summarize the rest of the piece. So how do you think he reads the pasuk? I'm going to harden Paro's heart to place my signs in your midst, or in his midst. Says the Machane Ephraim, I want to write the Parshas of Tefillin. And that's what we're doing here. We're writing the Parshas of Tefillin. We're preparing the Parshas of Tefillin in these Parshas. Yeah? But therefore, I need to write the Torah the way that I want to write the Torah, and to write the story the way I want to write it, says Hashem. I need to make sure that Paro plays his part. I'm the director. Paro is just an actor in my play. Paro is an actor in my movie. So I need to make sure that he knows his line. So I'm going to harden Paro's heart so that I can place Ososai, my signs, not the Makos, but so that one day the Jewish people will be able to place their tefillin. Right? I want to be able to make the tefillin, which are Sher Bekirbo, which are going to be not just the Makos in display of Paro, in front of Paro, but I'm preparing the signs of the Jewish people's tefillin. And yes, even the letters of Paro's name, even the scenes that are seemingly not so significant. Right? All these things which are part of our tefillin. Right? I want to make sure that they're exactly right so your tefillin aren't puzzled. So again, it's a fascinating vart because Hashem is manipulating Paro in Mitzrayim to prepare our tefillin. And if you wonder, who cares if a missing letter of Paro's name in tefillin? So I'll ask you the same thing. Who cares if a missing name of one of the Alufei Esav is not found in the Torah? But obviously it's a reminder to us, and again, we don't know the answer. We don't know why it is, but it's a reminder to us that yes, that every single letter of Torah is filled with the deepest secrets. And yes, the names of the Alufei Esav and the kings of Yishmael and et cetera, they matter to us. And it's filled with secrets of Torah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu here is, again, arranging in Mitzrayim the preparation of the osios, the osos of tefillin. And he goes on, he talks a little bit more about Shabbos and tefillin and Bris Milah as being an os. He says, Shisi Ososai, Shisi, as it's pronounced, Shisi Ososai, to put my signs, could also be read as Shtei Ososai. It's not a kudos in the Torah. Shtei Ososai, my two signs. As we said, you always have to have two signs. During the week, it's Bris Milah and Tefillin. On Shabbos, it's Bris Milah and Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, let's go on to another piece. Turn to the piece of Vayushav, Es Moshe, Es Aaron, El Paro. Okay, we got a lot to look at today, so let's keep going. V'yushav es Moshe ves Aaron el Paro v'yomer aleihem l'chu evdu as Hashem elokeichem v'yomer Moshe binorenu v'zkinenu nelech ki chag Hashem lanu. Paro, Moshe negotiating. Paro finally seems to be giving in a little bit, but he says, I want to know who's going to be going. So Moshe says, what do you mean? We're all going. Everyone's going. The young, the old, everyone's going. Right? It's a big chag. We have a big holiday. So we're all going, at least for a couple of days. Again, machlokas is a discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. Was Moshe really planning on going for a couple of days and then coming back, or was this just a ploy to escape from Mitzrayim? But he says an amazing thing. Yesh lahoyer b'zeh ki eino tzodik b'kan inyan chag. Why is Moshe saying to Paro, well, we need to go, ki chag Hashem lanu. We have a big chag. Ki chag hu nikra yom kavua. A chag means a holiday, right? Every year you come to this particular date and you celebrate. This is not a chag. You're making this up right now, Moshe Rabbeinu. You decided we're going to go on a three-day retreat to serve God, and then you're claiming, perhaps, that you're going to come back to Mitzrayim. But it's not a chag. Chag means this is already a Yom Tov that we need. Oh yeah, we need to take off because for generations we've had this holiday. This is not a holiday. There's no chag here. There's no Yom Kavua. There's no established calendar date that they're celebrating. And the implication here is that you know we have an upcoming holiday. So he explains as follows. Sheparo, and this ties in so beautifully to what we learned this week in the Lekan Amar. Paro lo yada klal min shem havaya baruch. Paro doesn't know yudke vavke. Ha Yehovah viya. Elokim, I've heard of that. Who remembers? Elokim is the same gematria as Hateva, the natural order of things. A God who created the world and let it play itself out. Paro says, havaya yudke vavke, a God who's involved? Shu mishadir hamarachos, who sholeit lamalam in a derech hateva, a God who operates not only within nature but beyond nature, a God who's actually in control, who's mishadir hamarachos, who's moving the pieces. Never heard of that. Ragiyalda mishem Elokim, shu mispar hateva. There you go. I only know the name Elokim, that's God within the natural order of things. Uvederech hateva meolam lo yatsa eved mitzrayim beis hasurim. From a Teva perspective, the chances of a Jew escaping from Mitzrayim were zero. And from a natural standpoint, no one, Chazal tell us, no Jew ever escaped Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. The Medrash Mechilta says no Jew ever got out of Mitzrayim. Because B'derech HaTeva, you could not get out of Mitzrayim. It was not possible for a Jew to escape Mitzrayim. V'husha amar lo yadati es Hashem. And if you'll tell me that you're going to get out of here at l'mal menateva, I don't believe, says Paro, in l'mal menateva. I don't know about l'mal menateva. I never heard of that. Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know yudke vavke. I don't know about that. U'lekach v'gam es Yisrael lo ashaleach. So therefore, the Jews can't go anywhere. B'derech ateva, it makes a lot of sense that they're here. Gam isa b'zor ha-kadosh v'yechazek Hashem as slave Paro. You got to pay attention when you read the Chumash. It's not all the same if it's Elokim or if it's Yud Kei Vav Kei or it's Shin Dalet Yud. Each name of Hashem is saying something else. What the Degel Malchin Ephraim is doing here is he's noticing something. He's paying attention to the names of Hashem. Paro's original presentation is, I know Elokim, I don't know Yud Kei Vav Kei. So now, what does the Pasuk say? Vayechazek Hashem aslev Paro. Yud Kei Vav Kei starts to, so to speak, enter into Paro's heart. Says the Zohar, Shema da Havaya, Shehizkir lo Askif liba da Paro. Right? The name of Hashem, which is Havaya, strengthened the heart of Paro. It doesn't just mean that God controlled Paro, in some general sense. It means Yudke Vavke, that name of Hashem, started to what? To penetrate, to enter into the heart of Paro. Ki lo ha'amin klal b'zeh she'eshem Havaya baruch hu ba'olam. Because Paro didn't believe in it. And Paro was, perhaps on a more revealed level, Paro was strengthening his heart against it. He didn't want to believe it. Shumakave kol ha-hovim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of all happenings in the present tense. U'meshadin ha-marachos va-mazalos. And that the constellations, while they appear to follow a regular pattern, are actually being precisely controlled by the Creator. V'acher shebo'o alav ha-makos sh'ayishidur ha-marachos hischil ha-hamin b'zeh ha-shem. But as he saw the Yad Hashem, and the Etzbe Elokim, and the Zro and the Tuya, as he saw God expressing himself in Mitzrayim through the Makos, and his Chartume Mitzrayim couldn't keep up, he started to say, maybe there is a Hashem. Maybe there is a Yudke Vavke. Maybe there is something bigger. And therefore, what does Paro say to Moshe? Lichu ivdu es Hashem Elokecha. It's a beautiful insight. Lichu ivdu, go and serve. Paro is now referring to Hashem Elokecha, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hashem Elokecha. V'hizker gam shem Havaya Baruch Hu. He still calls him Hashem Elokecha. He's somewhere between, you know, natural and supernatural, but he's starting to warm up to the idea. He's starting to understand it. He's hoyde b'miktsas. He believes partially. V'hemin sheyesh Havaya Baruch Hu ba'olam. He's starting to acknowledge maybe this is not. There's, you know, okay, so Dam Tzardeya, maybe Moshe got lucky. Maybe these are just, you know, natural. But Moshe is predicting it a little too precisely at this point. It's starting to imply that there's something bigger than this world. Moshe says exactly, Kichag Hashem lanu. You better let us go. We have a chag. I was thinking this morning, Paro's refusal to let them go, right, what happened to the chag? They didn't get the chag. So what did they get instead? Paro got three makos. He got arba, he got Choshech, and he got Bechoros. Right? The Rosh Yitzchak is Arba, Choshech, and Bechoros is Gematria Chag. Right? Arba, Choshech, Bechoros. You don't accept the Chag, you're going to get three plagues. The last three plagues. Aleph for Arba, Ches for Choshech, and Beis for Bechoros. So that you have a choice, Paro, to make. And Paro, again, he backs out. He doesn't like the terms. But Moshe says, we need to have a Chag. Hainu, Zeu Chag v'Yom Tov Gadol Hashem Lanu. What does Moshe call it? Ki Chag Hashem Lanu. It's a Chag. What does that mean? What does it mean? A Chag Hashem Lanu. This is a Chag. It's a big celebration. Okay, you're right. Maybe it's not a Yom Tov Kavua in a certain sense, but by us, in a certain sense, it is Kavua. It's our relationship with Hashem that we're celebrating, and we want to celebrate the fact that you finally said Hashem's name, Paro. You finally got it. Ki Chag Hashem Lanu. We're celebrating the fact that Hashem lanu. Yes, even in Mitzrayim, we're aware of the fact that Hashem lanu. Hainu masha hayatamid b'ficha rach shem Elokim. Until now, Paro, you always said Elokim. What's the gematria of Elokim, says the Degel Malchin Ephraim? 86. Same gematria as lanu. Kichag Hashem lanu. Lanu is the same gematria as Elokim. Kichag Hashem lanu. At least now you, Paro, are saying Hashem Elokecha. You're finally using the deeper name of Hashem. You're being Moide b'miksas, you're at least admitting partially. Mispar Lanu. You're saying Elokim, right? Lanu until now, Velo Amanta Rak Bezeh, you only believed in that. Va'ataha Amanta Gam B'Shem Avaya Baruch Hu. And now you're starting to believe in God as He really exists. Not just a God who's within nature, but a God who's L'mal M'Mateva. Yeah. Elokim is gematria, well, we said before, hateva, the natural order of things. And now he's saying Elokim is also gematria lanu, 86. No, because you're doing Elokim instead of Elohim. You're using kuf instead of hay. Okay? So that's what he's saying. When para, when you admit Hashem Elokeichem, gevaldik. Wow. That's a celebration. That's a major breakthrough. That the strongest leader of the strongest nation in the world is finally saying, ah, there's a God. He has an understanding of the Jewish concept of God. That's gevaldik. And he ends the piece by saying that Chag is also Rashi Tevos, Chesed and Gvura, which perhaps represents, again, these two names of Hashem. Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name of Chesed. Elokim, God's name of Midas Hadin. And Moshe says, ah, finally it's a Chag. Chesed and Gvura. Hashem Elokeichem. Paros Mode B'Mikzas. Yeah. Maybe also, we're going to speak general for now. Okay? So that's the big chag. Major breakthrough in this week's parsha. The power was finally moida ala emes. And it's a big chizik for us. That eventually everyone's going to say, the Jews and their understanding of God and their understanding of religion is the religion of truth. Their God is the God of truth. Like we saw earlier this week. The pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Yud, pasuk Yud, Hashem Elokim Emes. Hashem is a God of truth. To understand that balance of Hashem and Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And power is finally coming around and warming up to the idea, starting to understand the truth of things. Beautiful piece. Okay, let's turn to O Ye Amer Ulechol Bnei Yisrael Hayor B'Moshvosam. And again, you'll see how everything we learned earlier in the week is just continued here. With amazing Hashkacha Pratis. O Ye Amer Ulechol Bnei Yisrael Hayor B'Moshe Vosam. The one that starts Yesh Lefarish, the one on the right hand column. It's Kuf Chaf Vav. Yesh Lefarish Bazeh. As the Egyptians sat in the dark, it says for all of the Jews, there was Or B'Moshe Vosam, there was light in their homes. Yesh Lefarish Bazeh Diadua Mishu Davuk Be'emes. If you remember, we learned how MS is connected to Chaim, and Sheker is connected to Misa. So let's learn it another level. MS is connected to Or, and Sheker is connected to Choshech. Right? Light and truth, darkness and falsehood. Yesh lafarish bezeh. Diadua mishu davuk be'emes, hu davuk be'or. When you're attached to truth, you're living in the light. Think about it. When a person's in the dark, there's a lot of room for falsehood. Again, you're walking in a dark room, as the Mesilas Yesharim says, two possible things could happen. You could not see something there, which is actually there. That itself is sheker. If you trip over something that was there and you just couldn't see it, right? When you stumble, that's sheker. Why is that sheker? Right? Because the truth is it was there. And your perception was off. Or, Mesilas Yesharim says, sometimes you could see something, but you misinterpret it. Right? You walk into a room, it's dark, and again, it looks like someone's about to attack you. It looks like they're about to attack you, and then you turn on the light, and you see it's just an umbrella hanging off of a coat rack. Right? It's not someone standing there with a baseball bat about to smash your brains in. So when you're in the dark, there's a lot of sheker. This world, the Gemara says, in Bava Metzia, is compared to Laila. It's a dark experience, which is why the Svarma Kedoshim call this world an Alma, the Shikra, a world of falsehood. It's dark. Even when it's bright outside, there's a lot of Laila going on in Olam Hazeh. Shabbos is Or. Yom Shekulo Shabbos. Lasid Lava. Shabbos, we light candles. Big Inyan. Shabbos is Emes. Shabbos is truth. Okay, so let's see how he explains it. A person who's connected to truth is connected to light. Ki ba'or p'nei melech chayim. Amish, the Inyan we spoke about this week. Right? That Or p'nei melech chayim. Lafuke mishuhu b'sheker. The opposite, to exclude, lafuke means to exclude, it's a Gemara term, to exclude one who is living in falsehood. Such a person, michachash shehu tzeref choshech. He's living in a world of chachash, which means denying, right, or falsification. which is the same letters as Choshech. So falsehood goes with Choshech, and truth goes with Or. V'zeh shahayu nagof l'mitzrayim, shahayu lem Choshech afela uli Yisrael haya Or. The same thing that was afflicting the Egyptians was healing the Jews. The Egyptians were suffering from darkness. They were starting to recognize the falsehood of their lives. And the Jews were starting to what? To dwell in the light. There was light in the Jewish home. It meant that the Jews were recognizing in the clearest of ways the truth of Hashem. And therefore, min osios afela, from the word afela, which means what? Thick darkness, right? Intense darkness. Choshech, afela, dark. From afela, for the Jews, became what? Nasa, hey, aleph. Hainu he alfin. The word afela, right, which means darkness, could also be he aleph, five alephs. Anyone here know the secret of the five alephs?
Yeah.
Who knows the secret of the five alephs? Yeah, you know the secret of the five alephs? Let's hear it. Very good. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which was the first work of Chassidus ever published. Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Of Yaakov Yosef HaKohen. So he writes in Parshas Vayakel, that if you look in Oz Yashir, you find five alephs in a row. Amar, Oyev, Erdov, Asig, Achalek. What do the words actually mean? It's what the enemy is saying to us. Amar, Oyev, the enemy says, I'm going to chase the Jews. I'm going to catch them. And I'm going to destroy them. And I'm going to take their possessions. It's a very scary pasuk. And yet, the Svarim point out that each word starts with aleph, 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 aleph. There's actually one place, trivia question, in the Torah we have six alephs in a row. Anyone know? Okay, so that's your homework assignment. It's in Chumash Bereishis. Find the six alephs in a row. Okay? But the Toldos Yaakov Yosef talks about the five alephs in a row. Amar Yef Adov Asich Achlech. Which means that the enemy says, I'm going to kill the Jews, I'm going to destroy the Jews. And yet, if you look carefully, you see aleph, 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 aleph. I mentioned yesterday, what does the word aleph mean? Aluf, aluf, the chief, the master, the one who's in charge. You're not in charge of anything. Power, you could chase us. You think you're chasing to catch us, to bring us back to Mitzrayim. You're literally running. You're marching your troops towards their death. Kriyas Yamsuf. The Jews are going to walk through. The Egyptians are going to drown. Five alephs in a row. Now, this idea of five alephs, there's a lot more to say about it. Not really for now. But his point is, what was a fela? What was a thick darkness, a painful darkness, a falsehood for the Egyptians, right, was five alephs for us. Aleph, the first letter. Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominance over the world. Again, there's other things about the five aleph. He calls it Hei Oros. Right? He calls it five lights. At the beginning of the Chumash, no, how does it work? At the beginning of the Chumash, it says Or five times. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
When Hashem is creating Or, it says Or five times. So those are the five Oros. So for the Egyptians, thank you. For the Egyptians, it was Choshech. For Klal Yisrael, it was Or. Hashem shayu devukim be'emes. If you're attached to Emes, which is Or. Shenasim in aleph shall Emes, Or. Emes starts with an aleph. Or starts with an aleph. Aval mitzrayim shayu devukim b'chachash. But Egyptians who were living a life of denying Hashem and falsification of truth, nasel hem tseirav shal Choshech v'afela. What for us was five alephs, for them was a fela. What for us was Or of Emes, for them was a choshech, of chachash, of denying, of rejection. And therefore, says the Pasuk, v'zeh lo kamu ish mitachtav. No Egyptian was able to what? To get out of his seat. Lo kamu ish mitachtav. An Egyptian couldn't even stand up. Haynu bevadai kishedavuk b'sheker v'achoshev v'afela sholeit aleihem. Because when you're in the dark, when you're living a life of falsehood, lo kamu, you can't rise up, you can't grow. Zoi nefila gadola v'lo yachlu kum. When a Jew messes up, sheva yipol tzadik v'kum. A Jew falls down, he gets back up. But when your whole mahus is sheker, it gets to a point that it becomes paralyzing. And that's what the Pasuk is saying here. The Egyptians, as they encountered their own darkness, it became literally paralyzing for them. They couldn't move in the dark. A thick darkness that's utterly stifling. V'ahipuch, and the opposite is Or. Does Or help you to move? Or helps you to move. Very hard to move. I'm nervous to, right? If I go running in the dark, I'm very scared. I don't know what I'm going to crash into. In the light, I can move about more freely. And it's a pasuk that Or helps us to move. Kumi oiri, kiva oirech. Rise up. Light gives you the ability to rise up, to move forward. Va'oz tuchlu lakum, kine achoshech yichase eretz. Because when there's a choshech, it covers the earth. Haydu mashu choshech hu machmas yichase eretz. That why is there darkness? Because eretz is covered over. What is eretz? Al derech emes me eretz titzmach. Truth sprouts from the eretz. So if the eretz is covered over, if truth is covered over, you enter into a world of choshech and you're stuck. Kedi'isa b'tikunim. Okay? And he has a little bit more about this. He talks about u'lechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moshvo sam. Moshvo sam, he says, is moshav tam. Who's the ish tam? Yaakov. Titein. Emes liyakov. Okay? So or and emes, there's a lot going on here. There's more to be said. He says paro is ha'oref, which is the back of the neck. Again, the opposite of moving forwards is, of course, moving backwards. Another name for darkness is arafel, thick darkness, which is the same letters as la'oref. Again, it's backwards movement, as opposed to chvod Hashem alayich zarach, the light of Hashem, the honor of Hashem shines upon you. So emes is connected to light, is connected to chayim, right? Connected to Yaakovin. We saw so many connections this week. But again, what was stifling for the Egyptians was motivating and inspiring for the Jews. Okay? Two more quick pieces. Let's see two more. Let's turn the page. V'gam miknenu yelech imanu. Lo tisha'er parsa. Okay, we're not going to do the whole piece, but I want to just show you the yesod, because it's important. It's important for us as Jews. This is the perish why you have to care about that little bit of ice cream left in the container. As we started shir today. You have to care about that. Right? You ever think about the story of Yaakov going back for the Pachim Katanim? Is that like a miler? That's like embarrassing, you know? Like you're so obsessed with your little empty jars, you can't go on without them. You had to go back, you ditched your family, it was so important to go back. You couldn't be mavater on a couple of bucks. Why is Yaakov being such a cheap Jew? Why is he going back for Pachim Ketanim? Let it go. Stay with your family. He crosses over. He gets the whole fight with a malach. What was so important about those Pachim Ketanim? And the Gemara says that tzaddikim are very nizhar. They're very careful with their money. They're careful with their possessions. It's part of the general attitude that the Torah has in Parsha Shoftim, which is what? Don't be someone who's wasteful. Yeah? Bal tashchis. When you're going out to fight a war, the context of the Torah's Bal Tashchis is when you fight a war, don't chop down fruit trees. Those are worthwhile. You want to kill your enemy? Kill your enemy. But don't destroy the land, right? In the process, the land is purposeful. Don't damage. Ki adam etz asada, right? Don't. Is a tree like a person? You want to fight the enemy? Fight the enemy. Leave the trees alone. Amazing stories of tzaddikim. There's a story in the world of Chabad. There's a story with Rav Kook, about people who literally just plucked a leaf off a branch and were given such strong musar from the Rebbeim. Why? Because the Gemara says that every blade of grass has a malach hovering over it. So a Jew doesn't just walk down the street like, you know, pulling leaves off of trees without any kavana. A Jew doesn't waste something. A Jew has to think, how could I use this object, this thing? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'gam b'knenu yelech imanu lo tisha'er parsa. Our animals are going with us as well, and nothing's going to be left behind. Lo tisha er parsa. Where's the pasuk? Anyone know where the pasuk is? Where's the full pasuk? Why don't I see it? Here. Shlishi. Vayikra pa'al Moshe, l'chu avdu es Hashem, right? That's in power, says, okay, go for it. But your animals and your children have to stay here. Vayomer Moshe, not a chance. We need the animals to bring karbanos. V'gam miknenu yelech imanu, lo tisha'er parsa. Right? We need our animals. We need our animals to go with us as well. Not a parsa will be left behind. What's a parsa? Think in the context of kashrus. Animal has to chew its cud. It has to be what? Mefreses parsa. Split hooves, right? So we're not going to leave a hoof behind. A funny way to talk. Lo tisha er parsa. We won't leave a hoof behind. Ki mimenu nikach la'avod es Hashem Elokeinu. We can't leave behind even one hoof, any one animal, because we don't know how many karbanos we're going to need. So we need every animal, in case God wants us to bring every animal. Lo tishar parsa? That's a weird way to talk. Says the Degamach and Ephraim, Tzarech lahavinzeh. Ki ein lo shum beyer. Hayroi lomer lo tishar mu'uma. It should have said, we're not leaving anything behind. We need everything. Lama tafas lashun parsa. We're not going to leave behind the hoof. It'd say behema even. Parsa is strange. V'hanira lefi anias daiti. B'zeh davar amuk al pi ma sheshamati min adoni avi zekeni nishmaso eiden zatsa. I heard from my holy grandfather, the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov emphasized this idea. And again, I want to teach you this idea, not so much for the Vart in Parsa, because I'm not even going to read that part, but I want to teach you the insight for a sensitivity that an Eved Hashem is mindful of how he uses things. An Eved Hashem doesn't waste things. An Eved Hashem thinks about his possessions and his connection to his possessions. Look what he says from the Baal Shem Tov. Amazing idea. Shekol ma sheyesh la'adam. Anything that a person has, if Hashem has given you something, and anything, Hein avadav u'misharsav u'behemosav. In the days where there were servants and maidservants or animals, v'afilu kol ha'kelim shelo, even your possessions, your kelim, a cup that you have in your kitchen cabinet, kulam hein nitzotzos shelo. It's a deep idea, but every single bit of it, every one of them, is connected, is a nitzot, is a spark that's connected to what? To your neshama. Your tikkun in this world, the perfection of your neshama, depends on all of those surroundings. That's part of the idea of what the Gemara says. The Mishnah really says in Sanhedrin, "Bishvili niver ha'olam." The things that I have, if I walk into the pizza store and I buy a piece of pizza and they serve it to me on a particular plate, that I have a shaychus to that plate. That's a deep idea. Now, I'm not saying you have to, you know, keep the paper plate, you know, and like hoard the paper plates and fill your house with like trash because you're scared to throw it out because maybe, you know, there's still more I could do with it. You could be normal about it. A person can be normal about it. Chazal say, actually in the sugya of Baal Tashchis, there's a concept of Baal Tashchis de gufo adif. Right? Baal Tashchis de gufo adif. We're more concerned about your body than we're concerned about your possessions. That also means we're more concerned about your mental health than we are about a paper plate. Right? So obviously you could be normal about it. Right? It's the difference between a person who says, you know, well technically, and Rav Moshe Feinstein even I think has a tshuva about this, technically I could take one paper towel, and if I use every drop of the paper towel, then I can dry my hands. Or like, okay, it's also okay to take two paper towels. Don't be a jerk who grabs 25 paper towels and like barely dries your hands and throws it out. That's so wasteful, right? Hopefully we haven't done that since like, you know, we were not such a thoughtful like ninth grade kid in high school or something, you know? We're like, whatever, it's like the school's money. The school's money is your money, you're paying it. But whatever, okay. Yeah, but there's a balance. Obviously, there's a balance. You can be normal. You don't have to save your paper plate, right? You don't have to necessarily daven over your paper plate before you throw it out. Thank you so much for serving me. But on a certain level, the paper plate helped you to achieve your mission in this world. It's a nitzot neshama. That's why the possessions of tzaddikim are so valuable. It's not just historical heirlooms, right? But to wear, you know, the yarmulke that a tzaddik once wore, right? Or to have a silver snuff box that a tzaddik once had, right? Is it just, you know, it's a cool antique? Or is that the tzaddik is contained within his possessions? The tzaddik is found within his possessions. Yeah. What was that maisa? What was the story of the Divrei Chaim's pipe? I don't remember. Remember the story of the Divrei Chaim's pipe? Fell off the boat. You remember the maisa? How's it go? Divrei Chaim was traveling on a boat one time, and he dropped his pipe off the boat, and he was very worried about it, and he said, Hashem, like, please return my pipe to me. And like, when they got to, when the boat like docked at the, you know, at the port, he like got off the boat and he saw the pipe like floating right next to him in the water. And he picked up his pipe. Because right? The tzaddik, well, it was such a good pipe, he needed his pipe. It's such a good pipe, a person shouldn't smoke. Right? Right. Right. But his pipe was important to him. Because it was a nitzot neshama, it was connected to his soul. It was connected to his soul. I'm just repeating the muster from one of our Rashi Yeshiva from yesterday. Kulam heim nitzotzos sholau ha'shaychem l'shorash nishmaso, v'tzarach la'aloysim l'sharsham. So we need to take our possessions, and we need to use them. We need to elevate them. V'zehu, look at the words, ha'magid me'reishis achris. Ha'magid me'reishis achris. What does ha'magid mean? He says Magid is a lashon of kesher v'hamshacha. Magid means to connect, like a gid, a sinew that ties together the body, so to speak. Magid is lashon kesher v'hamshacha. So what does it mean? Hamagid mireishis achris? Hainu shiakasher bereishis. Hainu bekadmon bereishis hakol achris. Hainu sof kol madregos. Try to connect. Try to make connections between you and your world, beginnings and ends. Right? How did this object come to be a part of my life? Yeah, think about it. Sometimes there was a tzaddik in Muncie that when one of his suits was worn out, and he was gonna get rid of it because it was no longer wearable. He felt it wasn't kavodik to wear it on Shabbos anymore. He would take the suit, he would put it on his dining room table, and he would say thank you to the suit. He would for putting in the garbage. Right? He didn't want to just throw it out. I wore this suit so many times on Shabbos. I heard Kriyas HaTorah in this suit. I said Kaddish and Kedusha in this suit. I was Mekabel Omach HaShemayim when I said Shema in this suit. Right? I ate so many Shabbos meals in this suit. So he would put the suit, he would hang it up on a hanger nicely, he'd put it on his dining room table, and he would say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you to the suit for servicing me for all this time. I don't want to think I'm throwing you out because I don't appreciate what you've done for me. Right? That's a person of deep appreciation, even for a beged. And it's a sensitivity that the Torah wants us to have. How does it connect to this word parsa? You can read the rest of the piece yourself later. But again, it's Moshe Rabbeinu saying, when we serve Hashem, we need everything. We need everything. He says, parsa is geratria Moshe. And how everyone in Mitzrayim was really under Moshe's domain. So everyone is sort of a branch of the Tzadik Hador, right? And then, obviously, the ripple effect, your animals and your possessions are a continuation of you. But it's all rooted, hamagid mireishis achris. Try to make those connections. Try to understand where this thing came from, where it was prior to you. If you inherited something, understand that when you have that possession from your grandmother or your grandfather, right, it has a little bit. The possession has a nitzutz neshama from the one who it belonged to. And that's why, yes, Yaakov went back for pachim ketanim, because he understood, my soul depends on it. It wasn't just he was a miser. He was financially overwhelmed. I need to hold on to everything. No, he understood there's a spiritual connection that we forge with our possessions. And that should give us a proper attitude in how we use our things. Okay, last but not least, l'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shono. Last piece for today. Okay, again on the theme of truth. L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shono, bottom right-hand corner of page Kuf Chaf Ches. As the Jews left Mitzrayim, the Torah emphasizes that no dog barked on the night of Makas Bechoros, lo yechratz kelev l'shono. The dogs did not growl. V'yesh lomo l'darkeinu anizkirle'el, sh'atorah nitna b'lo nekudos, v'yachol lidrosh b'chol nikud, sh'yalol inyin adrush. The Torah, of course, is written without vowelization, and therefore you can say things, you can read words, not only in the way that they're meant to be pronounced, but you can look at the letters, and you could pronounce it differently, with different nekudos, to be able to say nice drashos. V'yesh lomar haremez b'zeh. Ki kol hatzaros habar ma'ala adem chas v'shalom. Hu machmas shenitva b'sheker. Ve'enu davuk be'emes. Ve'en piv v'libo shavin. All of the tzaros that a person has is because we're not living lives that are emistic. And so often, the way I talk is not the way that I actually feel in my heart. The way I present myself externally is not how I feel internally. And that disconnect causes tremendous tsaros for a person. Avamisha davak be'emes, but a person who clings to truth, upiv v'libo shavim, which Chazal speak very, very highly of, a person who aligns his lips and his heart, oz nimtokim hagvuros, that sweetens all of the harshness of life. You see it, and you know it. When we say something that's not really an expression of who we are, it feels off, and it causes troubles for us. Peh mispar elokim imakola. He says, Peh, right? When my mouth is used properly, it's mispar elokim. Elokim is the name of Gvura. Al yedei halev ki bina liba. Okay, let's see what he's trying to say with this. V'sham nimtiku adinim b'sharsham. When I can align my peh and my lev so that I'm able to sweeten midas hadin. Look how he explains it. Uvato kol etzaros rachmanu letzlan, and to get rid of all of the troubles of life. Aval kishenitva b'sheker medaber achas bepeh v'achas b'leiv. But if I fall into the trap of saying things one way and not acting those ways, right? If it's nice, what we're learning in the sugya of Maris Ayin, right? How am I perceived? How am I actually acting, right? I have to be concerned about my outside, and I have to be concerned about my inside. I have to be concerned about what my mind thinks and what my words say. Make sure that they line up. When a person is chas v'shalom, right? One way of speaking and one way of feeling, shapeh ino davak lev, when the heart and the mouth are disconnected from each other, va'adraba hu chaluk min alev, or if it's, God forbid, mamish, separated completely from the heart, hu lakach lo nimtiku agvuros, hu misham nisora kol atzaros. It leads to all sorts of problems. He's explaining it more kabbalistically, but we know it to be true on the simplest level, on a pshat level. When my words are not a reflection of my thoughts, right, I feel internally torn apart, and it causes tremendous inner turmoil and sorrows. So now he says, here's how I want to read the pasuk. V'zeyish lafarish shirimis ha-pasukan. Here's the remez in the pasuk. What was the pasuk shot in the pasuk? The dogs didn't bark. U'lechol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shono. A dog didn't what? Didn't growl. But you know how the Jews got out of Mitzrayim? If Mitzrayim was a place of choshech, of sheker, of rejection of Yudkei Vavkei, of the truth of Hashem, so then to get out of Mitzrayim, the Jews had to be real. The Jews had to line up what? Their lips and their heart, their peh and their lev. And therefore, says the pasuk, v'livnei Yisrael lo yecharatz, shalo hayem mazik lehem. The Jewish people, lo yecharatz. There was no yecharatz, right? Yacharatz, again, means the barking or the growling. There are no, like we say in the Tfilos of Shabbos, in the Zmiros of Shabbos, Kalvin de Chatzifin. There were no vicious dogs. There was no Midas Hadin. The Jews left Mitzrayim. It was a Laila Kayom Ya'ir. It was a night that was illuminated like day for the Jews. Why? You know why? B'nei Yisrael lo yacharatz? What does the Pasuk say? Kelev Lashono. But how is he reading it? Kilev Lashono. Kilev Lashono. Because their heart and their speech was aligned. Atam, the reason was kilev lishono, hainu lishono hayu kamo libo. The Jews were able to what? To speak straight, to be honest, to be real, to cry out to Hashem in a heartfelt way, right? And Hashem hears their cries. That's how the whole process began of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Sheyapiv libo shavim, sheyudvukim beemes, vazai nimtaku kol adinim v'havein. And in this way, we sweeten all of the midas hadin. To be able to align the peh and the lev. I once saw in a sefer that peh plus lev is gematria 117. Is that right? 117. Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the number of psukim in Shir HaShirim, which we recite as the culmination of the Seder night, a night of speech. Because on the Seder night, I could talk to Hashem how much I really love Him. I could say, create, I could sing to Hashem this love song, and I mean it. Shir HaShirim is not so easy to say. To say it like you mean it, to talk about Hashem as your lover. Come on, let's be honest. There's a lot of things in the world that I love, right? That I'm cheating on Hashem. I'm not 100% there in my love for Hashem. But at the end of the Seder, when a Jew comes out of Mitzrayim, kol amarbe l'saper harizem meshubach, and I spent the whole night praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now my pet and my lev are aligned, so then I can recite the 117 psukim, the love song of Shir HaShirim. Okay, so Chevra, this week was the theme of the week was Emes. Emes, Chaim, right? Truthfulness, life, or, and again, we should be Jews who live that. Right? We're starting to come out of the winter. It's Chodesh Shvat. It's a time where, you know, things are supposed to start warming up. Baruch Hashem, wasn't such a cold winter. But things are so bad, the trees are going to start to blossom. Take advantage of every opportunity that you have to attach yourself to Emes, to Chaim, to Or, and to live a life that's inspired by the light of Torah. Okay. Nu, nigan. Ya khashwa di me yesa sha mo so va ga.